Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, August 7th, 2003. Today's session is entitled HF Radio Email for Remote Medical Access in Africa, presented by Robert Porter, number POR 2003-01. Let's listen in.
My name is Rob Porter. My wife Pam and I have been coming to Holden since 1986, and we've been on an amazing journey of awakening and dreaming for God's will for God's people since then. That journey first took us to Nicaragua and Guatemala in 1988, and then to Angola in the middle of the Civil War in 1996, and then to Ghana in 1998. The purpose of this is a dream that a Zairean friend, now Democratic Republic of Congo, friend of mine and I have had since 1996. Access to medical care is one of the basic necessities for improving the quality of life for thousands of remote villagers in the developing world. Improved communications, including fast messaging, would allow medical organizations to better serve remote populations. In the past 20 years, voice communication via HF radio installations has been a vast improvement over no communication at all. Yet, HF radios in their voice communication are well known for the hit and miss type of availability and very poor voice quality, resulting in the necessity of constant attempts and repetitions to achieve certainty of the message contact. You may be familiar that there's a whole radio alphabet because a lot of times words have to be spelled. So hello would be hotel, echo, Lima, Lima, Oscar, instead of just hello. And it's notoriously difficult to discern certain amounts, like 15 or 50 when it's over voice. So one of the things that I experienced in 1996 in Angola, listening to the people use their HF radios, was the constant need to repeat and repeat and repeat. Yeah, HF radio is a vast improvement over no communication at all. And it is what is used between air and ground in remote places for tracking radios, and is their only, the only contact from a remote site to a less remote site. In the developed world, we have become quite accustomed to near instantaneous text messaging due to the widespread use of email messages. Solar-powered HF radio email has been developed to bring the reliability of text email communication to the most remote HF radio site. Now, by email text messaging, I mean just basic words, not fancy fonts, not access to the internet, no pictures, but reliable words. The reliability and redundancy circuitry assures that the message received is in fact identical to the message that has been sent. HF radio email brings email access of the developed world, that is, email to and from any email address in the world, to the most remote site in the world. Reliable text messaging will facilitate accurate remote diagnoses and patient care, allow accurate ordering of medicines and emergency airlifts, and in general, it will free up resources now expended on just having the voice communication and enable those people to spend their time and resources on medical care. What I've just read to you is the introduction of the proposal that my partner and I made in the fall of 2002, last fall, for a demonstration project to show the reliability of email to using HF radios. Now, at this point, I'd like to just diagrammatically show you what an HF radio email system is comprised of. Currently, at sites, many places in the remote developing world, there will be an HF radio designated by R with an antenna that's powered by solar panels and through a battery pack. And that complement of equipment is repeated both at a base site and then at a number of remote sites. What HF radio email adds is a computer, which is also hooked up to the battery, and a modem, a special modem. Now, one of the questions that we found ourselves asked very often was, it starts with a statement, HF radios are dinosaurs. They're old technology, their time has come and gone. Satellite phones are the communication of the present and the future. Whereas that may be true in a scenario of unlimited resources, satellite systems are expensive to procure, and they're also expensive to operate. Jonathan Frerich was telling me that they now have them down as low as $1,000, and each minute is down as low as $1 to $1.50 per minute. Well,
I was going to say something on the satellite phones.
Yes.
In one catalog I saw they had a satellite phone for $3,000, and you paid $3 a minute to use it.
That's much more typical than $900 and $1.50 per minute. That's the figures I was going to use, the $3,000 and the $3. But Jonathan was telling me that with the event of Afghanistan and Iraq, there is now a Middle East satellite that's geosynchronous, which means it sits above one point of the Earth, and it gives Middle East coverage. But I get ahead of myself. HF radios are already in place in many parts of the developing world, and the incremental cost to get HF radio email that way is about $1,000, and that's. And there's no more cost after that at all. There's no per minute charge, except at one point, in one point in the network, they have to have access to the rest of the email of the world through a telephone line. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself a bit. The need for reliable communication it has been documented in many ways. I choose one example, and that was a World Health Organization survey of Zambia in 1995, which identified 1,000 remote clinics that had no communication at all. Zambia also has what's called a flying doctor service, That is a group of pilots who are also doctors who, through the United Kingdom, have procured four airplanes and developed landing sites and clinics at remote places. The thousand sites that the World Health Organization identified in 1995 included the Zambia Flying Doctors sites. They have some 35 remote clinics. In 1996, a Canadian mission and aid organization called Mission Aviation Fellowship procured a contract to supply 100 radios, HF radios, to remote Zambian health clinics. 31 of those went to Zambia Flying Doctors, and the other 60 went to government remote clinics. Later in 1996, Pam and I and our family went to Angola, where we met to a mission aviation fellowship compound for a project in Angola, where we met the radio technician who had installed the radios in Zambia. And at that point, a dream started to form between this gentleman, whose name is Nzola Ntima Swasisa, and myself, short form is Zola, to, even in 1996, the technology to do radio email existed. It was very expensive. It cost $1,000 per year per site to get the license to use the software. Zola and his family arrived in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, where we live, to go to school, to get formal education to go with his self-taught radio expertise. And we connected there again, and again the dream came forward as for this reliable text email messaging. It lay fallow until the fall of 2002, last fall, due to lack of time, due to the rat race that I was in and Zola was in, separate, parallel. Last fall, we put together a proposal. I read you the introduction of that proposal, and we sent it to a Rotary Club in Calgary, Alberta. Not coincidentally, it's the Rotary Club that my father's been a member of for 50 years. So that club, in short, took on the project, and then through the government of Alberta, we matched those funds. And we had the seed money to start. And here's where God's grace and serendipity really comes in. Nzola and I walked into a Marine Electric shop in Victoria. That's a place that installs HF radios for sailboats. The day before we did that, Mr. Tony Gooch, I think is his name, had just completed around the world sailing boat solo. And it was in the newspaper that morning that he had used radio email every day of the journey, and it had not once failed. Now, Victoria's there. He had sailed down and then basically around the shortcut so that he wouldn't have to go so far around the southern end, and then it come back up. An awful lot of that is a long way from anywhere. And yet, he had been able to be in email contact with his family in Victoria every day. When we walked into the radio shop in Victoria, the manager said, yes, we installed that. It's called Sail Mail. We installed that on Tony Hooch's boat. And there are, I'll just do a little aside, there's about four stations. There's a couple here on the coast. There's one down in South America, and there's one in Australia. And through just those four or five locations, Mr. Gooch was able to stay in contact. And what the manager of that store in Victoria said to us is, yes, let's apply Sail Mail to Africa. What we didn't know when he said that was that this gentleman knew the president of the modem manufacturing company. So that instead of paying thousands of dollars to modify the radios to work with the modems, that modem company is doing that for us for $500, nominally. What we didn't know is that that gentleman also knew the man who wrote Sail Mail software. He lives on the San Juan Islands. His name is Jim Garman, a retired IBM person from several decades ago. And Mr. Garman, when he found out about the project, said, oh no, you don't need to pay us the $200. Now, remember I had said $1,000 a year for a site? Well, Sail Mail was down to $200 a year, so we were excited. What Mr. Gonerman said was, oh no, you don't need to do that. If you pay me $50 per site one time, that'll do it. No more is required. And not only that, he said, I'll sell you the software to be a post office so that one site per country can be a post office, and then all the other sites in that one country, and this is only for legal reasons. I mean, as we saw from the world, one site could be the post office for 1,000 different radios all over the world. But for legal, you only can get radio licenses within a country. So one site can be the post office for the whole country. Everybody within that country can communicate to each other without ever having to go through the infrastructure, i.e. telephone lines, of that country. Only when somebody from any one of the sites, be it the central site or any of the remote sites, want to communicate with me in Sydney, BC, would they need to go onto an internet service provider. So, well, in essence, that's what the project is. And we have found that medical people in Canada are very excited, and I would guess that medical education people throughout the developed world could get pretty excited about this, because as one medical missionary or volunteer type person told me, who had worked in Lusaka, the capital, said, I couldn't get my messages from one hospital to the other in the city because the telephone lines were down all the time. And when they weren't down, they were so staticky that the email wouldn't work. A couple other things about the system, and then I'll open it up for some questions. We are talking about a very slow rate according to our Western or developed mindset. 1,200 bits per second as opposed to 57,000 the phone lines, or 10 times that if you have over your local television cable network. Is it text only? But the quantum step is the reliability that is done by the system and allows, well, many times more information to be passed each day. The current limitation for Zambia-flying doctors is 30 sites. The limitation is based on a 10-hour workday at 15 minutes per day is all that the operator has to give to each of the remotes. They can't bring on any more remotes because they haven't any more time to talk to them or to try to talk to them. A system like this can handle 1,000 remote sites. And each remote will listen to the system, sense when there's a special little signal that says, I'm done, and then we'll jump on, send its little packet, get emails back, and then give a little all done signal and go on to the next. So that's the presentation verbal part. I do have some pictures of the 1996 radio installation that I'd like to show you, but I'd entertain questions first.
Okay. I'm a ham operator, so
you were nodding a lot. So
start from yours. So I had some curiosities about it. The radios themselves, in terms of the power output, the frequency of operation, the packet switch protocol, a couple of things like that that I'd be really curious about.
And you have to talk to Zola.
Okay. Cool. Do you have any technical specs with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. You're in Victoria.
I have an email address.
Are you a ham operator?
No, I'm not.
You're on email, though.
I am.
Okay, good.
Other serendipity of God's grace, the Victoria Amateur Radio Club has offered to be our antennas.
I was going to say that's a magnificent resource that you guys should lean on.
Yeah, for
the ham community.
The ham community.
The ham community communicates around the world medical information daily, and they have for 40 years, 50 years.
Right. Well, the ham community in Victoria has offered us their sites, their
great. Good.
Their equipment, although the equipment for our pilot project had to actually come from Zambia because those radios are just not available in Europe, Japan, or North America.
You said they're dinosaurs. Are they transistor-based? I mean, you're not talking about vacuum tube radios.
They're transistor-based. They're 1995 technology.
Okay, like ICOM or Yaesu or
Kodan X2 is the brand, and Kenwood TK-80.
Right.
They're currently sold radios, but you cannot get information in North America. They will not give you information. They won't even send you specs. Probably because they don't have the UL or CSA approval on them, and then they just won't touch it.
You haven't reached installation yet on these.
Okay, current status of the project. We had to have the, before Rotary would even nibble, they needed evidence of commitment by the receiving recipient organization. Zambia Flying Doctors had been interested in 2000, but one of the reasons it lay fallow until 2002 was that when we asked, could you spend $500 on it? They said no. We have subsequently found out that they've been reorganized and refunded by the Zambia government, which is very good news. This time, when we said, we know you're interested, but could you put up as much as $1,000? Because that was the Rotary's threshold. They said, yes, we will. It turned out their $1,000 was to purchase a new Kenwood TK-80 radio, because we couldn't get one over here. And then to ship both one of each of their old radios and their new radios to Victoria, which were immediately sent down to San Jose, which is where the modems are made. Current status is that the radios are in San Jose. One of them turned out to be very easy to modify. It's been done. The other one has a double grounding higher kind of system, and it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do. I haven't been in Victoria since the 7th of July, so when I was in email contact just before I came on the boat here, they said that the system should be operational, back in Victoria and ready to go to the amateur radio club by the time I get back.
How many sites in Zambia have radios?
That depends on how much funding you can do. And I was told I could not solicit funds. We currently have funds for about 5 radios. Each additional radio unit is $1,000. And that includes installation and training a new, that's a day of training at each remote. One thing that I haven't talked about at all is to go a little bit more about, this box labeled computer. Each site also gets a computer. There are other things that the Zambia Flying Doctors and medical personnel anywhere, these are educated people. They can use computers when they get them. And these are surplus computers. We haven't put anything in the budget for computers. SASCAL is the government telephone for Saskatchewan. A friend of mine went and talked to their surplus people and they said, well, we'll pay you. For a starter, yeah. That'll do. It just needs to have Windows 98. Operationally, it'll be the same as you and me typing into Outlook Express, hitting send. The only difference is that then the radio email will take over modem, and it will listen on the radio for the all clear, and then it will jump in and send its messages and getting that are waiting for them.
Because in most of these places, there's no electricity.
Yeah, right.
No telephone lines, and the method of communication is what you hear outside.
Drums.
Yeah,
it is drums.
Yeah.
We know that there are many application places. We have just chosen Zambia Flying Doctor Service because my partner Zola installed the radios. He trained the personnel there. He knows the radios and the systems and the people. And Zambia Flying Doctors will also put us up when we're there for as long as it takes.
Just a question about throughput. You said it was 1,200 bits per second.
1,205.
Yeah. But then you talked about a protocol of listening for an all clear, which sounds like a token ring or Ethernet kind of packet switching, which means that, or makes me ask, is the whole country on one simultaneous ring at that point? In other words, that would severely congest. And so, in other words, you would have the theoretical 1,200 throughput, but it's not, if everybody started to send if 10 people started to send an email at the same time, would they have to all go through that protocol for the whole country? In other words, does it scale up in terms of throughput?
From my understanding of it, It's a kind of signal. It's a audio. You know, it's an analog signal that says I'm done with this. And then when the modem hears that, it will say, okay, nobody's on this right now, and it will jump in. Now, how it figures out whether who the next one in is, I do not know that. But it is only one at a time that gets through. Everyone else has to wait.
Okay, so then so the whole country is essentially on one network that is one packet at a time for the whole country.
Right.
Okay, all right.
But it's just this home station and these radios at these specific clinics, right?
When you say the whole country, I mean, all the radios that are tuned to that frequency, that are licensed to operate on that frequency or that set of frequencies, because it will scan up and down to see which one's the best one to communicate on, and the base one will scan to see which frequency or frequencies that the remotes are trying to come in on.
So let's say you got the two top dots. Can they communicate directly, or they have to, it's a star network, I think, right?
Yeah.
So they have to go to the central location.
The way that it works is that this one sends a packet to here, and then the post office recognizes it's sending a message to this one and that one. Next time this one calls, it will send the packet out that this one sent in, out to it. I mean, it's like the way our emails work, and our servers work. Somebody sends a message to my internet service provider, and then it has to wait until I call in to get messages, and then it'll say, oh, well, you have this one that's been waiting.
Any modifications have to be done to the antennas at the local stations that part of the radio frequencies?
Yeah, it's the same radio, same frequencies.
Okay,
right.
And what's the expected turnaround time for a response for a message? I think that's related to which, if somebody needs medical supplies, is this guaranteed a response of availability within 12 hours or 6 hours or 24 hours? Have you looked at it from that system's point of view?
I really haven't looked at it.
Okay.
Right now, it's 15 minutes of voice per day.
Right.
So
it could be tomorrow before you find out whether you have the penicillin.
Yes, but with the radio email, especially in this demonstration phase where there's only 4 or 5 people on the network, when there isn't voice communication trying, but after the 10-hour day, kind of, you could jump on and get the message and
sure.
Another one.
Yeah.
Because it's remote site driven. In other words, the remote has to call in and say, "Do I have any messages?" The same way that you and I do on our email, so we have to find out, "Hey, is there something for me?" I told you when the epilepsy doctor in Victoria found out about it, he said, "You mean that at the end of the day that you install this, that somebody here in Zambia is going to be able to email me in Victoria?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "And they'll still be able to say there's no medicine." But to me, it's an infrastructure thing. I know that there's still all sorts of other steps, but communication is a vital piece of that. Are we ready to look at a few pictures? Oh, yes.
There's one other little technical question I forgot. Is this hindered by mountain ranges, or does it need to be line of sight, or need repeaters, or any kind of funny stuff, or is it just these remote sites with the antennas?
Just the remote sites. One of the notorieties of HF is that today it works, tomorrow that frequency doesn't work because the ionosphere isn't in the same configuration as it was. And so the one of the joys of it is that the procedure to test these other frequencies is done very quickly.
And the rationale for going with the HF radios rather than more current technology based on cost, is that right?
Yes, in a word. The networks of HF radios are there. And so for $1,000, you now have text messaging, which is reliable, and a computer thrown in for free. Whereas with satellite phones, these organizations don't have satellite phones yet, so we have to get all of the satellite phones, plus then a satellite phone modem, and then it's still the $1.50 or as Manuel had said, $3 to $5 per minute thereafter. So that's easily $150-$200 a month, which never ends.
And nobody's rushing in putting cell towers in.
Well, there's one in the Dola, and there's one in the Saka, and I'm sure that Krista can also confirm there's cell phones in the major cities and throughout Africa. I mean, Krista gave me her cell phone, so I know she's got one.
Yeah, well then. We have cell phones. Mm-hmm. Now they're looking at almost the other end.
Is there anything that you'd like to say about the applicability or the non-applicability of this to Tanzania?
Nothing really. I was just listening. And it kind of makes it as possible for me.
Just a quick question. You sort of channeled this whole thing as a medical information system, and I keep thinking, how about all these other things? I mean, we don't use email in this country exclusively for email, probably a very small percentage. How about if somebody in one part of the country just wants to say hello to their cousin in the other part, or things like that? Can this system, in other words, is it restricted? Is there something about the system that says if it isn't medical, you can't use it?
No. Oh, no. And the current voice is 15 minutes per day. If there is good communications that day, and if there's not 15 minutes worth of medical necessity, there is already community messaging component to that, and we envision that yes, it would be used for that as well.
Full screen down there.
Yeah.
just start in this corner. Now, these are all pictures from Zolotti Mosposisa from the 1996 time that when he was building, installing the radios and training the technicians at Imandola and also the operators at the remotes. Here is the kind of village reception that they would get when they arrived. This is one of the villages that actually you could, they could get to by truck. This is putting up an antenna. They have raised a pole here, which had a pulley on it, and now they're raising the antenna pole up to that. This picture, they're doing the wiring of the antenna. I don't know if it's the guy wires or electronics, but this is Dolan Salsisa there. This is the head office of the Zambia Flying Doctor Service, and this woman is the radio operator, and her full-time job was to communicate 15 minutes slices with the remote clinics. And finally, this picture is a picture of another of the clinic sites. This is the clinic building, and this open building here is the waiting room for that. Any questions about
the middle picture on the right?
Oh, this is the sorry, I said this is the staff at a remote clinic site.
Can this system work in the underground lines?
An underground? No.
No.
No. It needs an antenna in the air. I mean, I suppose it could work if there was an antenna above the mine. Yes, but the communication needs to be through the air for the system to work. The antennas can be set up on top of office buildings in urban settings as well. This picture is the inside of a remote clinic, so that you can see that it's what it is. It's, you know, like whitewashed walls, and that's their brand new radio installed. That would have been a Kodan X2. And the bottom one. That's Zolotti Mosposisa again doing some of the showing some of the antenna wiring outside of the building. This was part of a picture from 10 years ago. This is Zolotti. It says Katie, but her real name is Nadim, and Gina and Natalia, and now they have almost 1-year-old son. This is another waiting room, and this pole up there past the end of the screen is the antenna. That's Zola with some more of the antenna cable. Oh, one more thing about that one. This toolkit reminds me that our project also includes a toolkit. Each project takes a toolkit, leaves it there for the use by the local people.
So what is the total cost per project, per site?
First of all, the basic demonstration site requires a base and a remote. That was the extent of what we wanted to try to do, and that we budgeted $10,000. Of course, that included $1,000 for a year's operation, and the use of that of the budget got totally changed around through God's grace. But it's still about $10,000 because other things were more expensive that we had thought of, but things became less expensive. And that $10,000 includes Zola's time, you know, airfare to go over for there for 2 weeks to train, and then each additional site is $1,000, and that includes a day, another day to install. Okay. And, oh, this picture, right? This is a fascinating picture. Many of the sites are not accessible by road, as I said. And this picture is taken as the team carried the parts for the radio and antenna to a site that they drove all day because, I mean, it's Zambia flying doctors, but you can't carry radios and batteries and things like that in airplanes, it's too heavy. So they drove to the end of the road, and then the end of the road was up on this ridge, but that ridge came all the way around, so a U-shaped valley. And then they walked another whole day down to that. Zola's carrying a piece of the antenna, but it starts down here and goes like this. So there were several people who just carried a piece. And this is I don't know if you can read it, but Zambia Flying Doctor Service. And what the picture is taken from the runway, and the site is basically an airstrip and these two buildings. It's a site that's not accessible by road. That's it. Question?
Yeah, once you have installed a remote site, what training and skill level have to be there in order to operate and maintain it?
The incremental skill that needs to be there is to type in at the computer and press send. Because they're already trained in the operation and day-to-day maintenance of the radio and antenna.
So there is someone who would be called the operator at each site?
The operator is a registered practical nurse at these sites. It's a two-year university program in Lusaka.
What about handling computer malfunctions? Will they be trained to handle like breakdowns? Or?
No, they won't be trained in that any more than they're trained in the breakdown of the radio. The radio maintenance is handled out of the base, and they come around doing preventative maintenance on a routine basis. And the project will our project, although we are up to about five sites, we're going to take a few extra computers that have the remote site on it so that they can just be swapped out. Yeah, swapped out. The executive director is really looking forward to getting his scheduling on a spreadsheet on one of the spare computers. Yes, sir?
You said you had to have Windows 98 on each of those PCs. Did Microsoft offer to give you a very special rate for those licenses?
We're using computers that had them already, so we've not approached Microsoft on that. We haven't had a perceived need to go that route. We're not putting anything new on. Okay, Bob, we're done.
Thank you. The compliment is coming in a couple minutes.